the whole man. Body, mind, and spirit. The whole man has been terribly infected with this disease called sin in his mental and spiritual and physical being. He is sin sick. But Jesus, the master physician, can and does heal the whole man. Praise God. He is interested not only in our spiritual health and well-being, brothers and sisters. I'm here to insist that he is equally interested in and concerned for our physical health and well-being. Does not the ministry of Jesus Christ prove that beyond any shadow of a doubt? What did he spend most of his time doing? Healing. Healing very tangible physical ailments and diseases. You see, the word salvation in Scripture is really the same word that is used for healing. Did you know that? Yes. The same word that's used for healing. You see, we have, unfortunately, a very limited concept, typically, of what salvation is designed to do to us. We think of ourselves being, having our souls saved, whatever that is. Being spiritually renewed, whatever that is. And we often overlook the fact that God is, yes, saving souls, yes, renewing us spiritually, but he is also interested in renewing us physically. Healing us physically. The master physician is in the business of healing the whole man, the whole woman, mentally, spiritually, and physically. That's why I prefer to call the plan of salvation God's plan of restoration. Restoration to total health. It is the plan of salvation. It is the means by which God restores us, brings us back to the perfection of our Edenic state. And in Eden, man was unaffected, spiritually, mentally, and physically, by this devastating disease called sin. In Eden restored, man will be totally and perfectly free from the slightest taint of the disease of sin. And in the meantime, the master physician is in the business of restoring us, one step at a time, towards that Edenic state. Praise God, brothers and sisters, that the master physician is well able to restore us to total health. But I'm here to insist that though Christ is well able to restore us, he cannot restore us to total health unless we put ourselves under his care and accept our responsibility as his patients to learn how to intelligently, actively, and diligently cooperate with him in the healing process. You know what the human physician's greatest frustration is? When the patient doesn't follow instructions. No matter how skilled a human physician might be, can he help a patient out who refuses to follow instructions? Can he? No. And brothers and sisters, the master physician never lost a case, but he never loses a case for those who choose to be his patients and choose to cooperate with him. We have a responsibility in this whole process of healing, a vital, absolutely essential role, a cooperative role that we must play with the master physician. That we might know how to do this and be motivated to choose to do this is the purpose and the goal of this seminar. And brothers and sisters, I want at the onset for you to recognize with me that if that purpose and goal is to be realized, we must have supernatural help, the presence and power of God's Holy Spirit. Our pastor has prayed for that, and I appreciate that prayer, brother. But I want to give you an opportunity to pray individually for God's Spirit to be with you, and I need that opportunity. And please remember me in prayer as well. Let's ask for God, in Jesus' name, to pour out His Spirit upon us, that we might not only know how we can and must cooperate with the Master Physician, but even more importantly, to help us come to choose, to be motivated to choose to cooperate. To cooperate, that we might be healed from the disease of sin in every dimension of our being, but especially physically, because that is the emphasis and the particular perspective of this series. To that end, would you kneel with me for just a few moments of silent prayer? My Father in heaven, I come boldly into your presence because of Jesus. He is worthy of an audience with you. I freely acknowledge that I am not, but I come in Jesus' name. And you have assured me that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There is none righteous, no, not one, save the Lord our righteousness. And since I'm praying in His name, I'm confident that my prayer will avail much. And Father, what I'm asking for just now is for the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of truth. Pour it out upon us. You know how desperately I need that Spirit. Father, I can do nothing that will be a blessing to anyone unless you condescend to use me and pour the precious truth of your word through me. I choose to give myself to you as a channel through which you can communicate saving, sanctifying, restoring, healing truth. Father, I choose to be cleansed with the blood of Jesus. I choose to die to self that there may be nothing to obstruct that you would do through me. Please take this earthen vessel and sanctify it and utilize it. And then I pray as well for my blood-bought brothers and sisters that have responded to the call of your Spirit to come out tonight and study your word. I thank you for their response, and Father, I pray that you would reward each one with a better, fuller, deeper understanding of vital truths, particularly these truths that relate to our physical health. Father God, we claim your promise that where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are in their midst. Please, Lord, come and be in our midst as individuals as well. Fill these body temples and illuminate our minds. Give us that spiritual discernment that we need, that we might not only understand, but more importantly, appreciate and accept truth, even though it might require of us certain changes, self-denial perhaps. And indeed, the truth always does require self-denial. But what you ask us to give up is only that which would hurt us. And you only ask us to give it up that we might receive the blessings of health and happiness. So, Father, give us a right attitude, we pray, as we listen and as we study your word. This is my prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Though when we talk of the plan of restoration to total health, we need to realize that God is dealing with the whole man, we also, on occasion, need to focus in on certain aspects of man's nature and consider how God is in the process of healing us in particular dimensions of our being. And this seminar is designed to consider particularly the physical dimension of our being and God's plan and purpose to restore us to physical health. But I would encourage you to realize that the same principles that are involved in our physical healing are involved in our mental and spiritual healing as well. I would like to share with you at the onset of our studies an outline that will give you an overview of the content of this series. I would like to use a paragraph from a book called Healthful Living, page 19. Are any of you familiar with the book Healthful Living? It's an excellent compilation of the writings of Ellen White, who the Lord gave special insights, by the way, in this area of personal health care. It's a compilation that was made back in the late 1800s, just before the turn of the century. It's been out of print for a long, long time. It was out of print for a long time, but recently it has been reprinted, and I highly recommend it. I only wish that I had it available here for you. Excellent compilation, Healthful Living. On page 19, we read this paragraph, and I want to use this paragraph as an outline for our Sabbath seminar. We have a full day, by the way. If you've noticed the brochure, tonight is just the beginning of a very extensive study. Here's the outline for our series. I quote, Section 1. This is what we'll be dealing with. It is the duty of every person to become intelligent in regard to disease and its causes. Okay, that's Section 1 of our seminar. We'll take that in two parts. And I'd like to call these two parts None of These Diseases. Part 1 tonight and Part 2 tomorrow morning. Okay, and what is the purpose of these two studies entitled None of These Diseases? It is to fulfill this duty. I read again. It is the duty of every person to become intelligent in regard to disease and its causes. Okay? That's part one. Part two. I quote, You must study your Bible in order to understand the value that God places upon those whom Christ has purchased at such an infinite price. This is a vitally important section of our seminar because it helps us to be properly motivated. You see, we can know an awful lot about disease and its causes, but we won't be motivated to do anything about the problem unless we recognize the value the Lord places on those whom Christ has purchased at such an infinite price. What does Paul say? Know ye not that your temple, that your body is what? The temple of the living God, and you are not your own, but you are what? Bought with a price. Bought with a price. Therefore do what? Glorify God in your body. But you see, brothers and sisters, we must come to grips with the value that God places upon our physical being before we will be properly motivated to do anything necessary to regain personal health. So that will be part two. And the two parts that we will, the two studies, that will focus in on that particular aspect will be entitled, Do All to the Glory of God. Part one and part two, Do All to the Glory of God. Then, thirdly, now this will be Sabbath afternoon by the time we get to these last two studies. I quote, Then, okay, after we have studied regarding what the Bible says about the value the Lord places upon us, then we should become acquainted with the laws of life that every action of the human agent may be in perfect harmony with the laws of God. You see, with a right motivation, then we can take a close look at what our essential cooperative role is in regaining optimum personal health. How we can, indeed must, learn to bring every action of the human agent into harmony with the laws of God. Okay? There's an overview. That's the outline. Now that's an ambitious project. May the Lord help us. We can't possibly do justice to those points that we propose to cover. But may the Lord help us at least hit some highlights and bring home some vital truths. First, tonight, let's take a look at the problem. It is the duty of every person to become intelligent in regard to disease and its causes. It's the duty of everyone to become intelligent in regard to disease and its causes. First, let's consider from a biblical perspective the cause of disease. I want to do that tonight. Then tomorrow morning, let's seek to come to an understanding of disease itself. What it is. Okay? The cause of disease. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 15, please, in your Bibles. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. This is the text from which we've taken the title of this two-part study. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. What a precious promise. God says, I will put none of the diseases upon you which I have brought on the Egyptians. But what is the condition? All God's promises are conditional, aren't they? The word if always indicates a condition. What is it? If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight. And then note how the same condition is repeated, but in different words. Give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. Heed and do, hear and keep. Conditions met, what's the promise? I will put what? None of these diseases. What then is the condition? It is obedience. It is obedience. But note, what God warns will happen if Israel does not hear and keep, does not heed and do. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28. This is the flip side of the coin. The negative side, but we need to recognize that just as obedience ensures that none of the diseases will come upon us, disobedience as well ensures that all of the diseases will come upon us. Note how clearly this truth is brought home. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15. But it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Now, what follows is a whole list of curses, but note with me a few of the physical disease elements in this curse. Verse 21, for instance, the Lord will make the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. Verse 22, the Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning, with the sword, with scorching, and with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. Look at verse 27. The Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt. With the boils of what? Of Egypt. Specifically what he said would not come upon us if we obey. None of the diseases that came upon the Egyptians, he says, will come upon us if we disobey. The Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors, with the scab, and with the itch from which you cannot be healed. Go over, same chapter, to verse 58. Verse 58. If you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious and prolonged sicknesses. Verse 60. Moreover, he will bring back on you all the what? The diseases of Egypt, of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Verse 61. As if that isn't enough. Listen. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law will the Lord bring upon you until you are what? Destroyed. Every sickness and every plague which is not written in this book. How many diseases does that include? That includes pretty much every disease, doesn't it? Now granted, Egyptians, because of their relatively wholesome lifestyle, were not subject to the common diseases that plague us today, namely degenerative diseases. Atherosclerosis, for instance, was hardly known and is hardly known today in those primitive societies that have a very simple lifestyle. Atherosclerosis is responsible for over half of the deaths today. Did you know that? Cancer is another common killer. These diseases, degenerative diseases, that are very common killers today, were hardly known back then. It was mostly infectious diseases that took life back then. But, brothers and sisters, I submit that even degenerative diseases are included in this text. Not only those infectious diseases, but Deuteronomy 28, verse 61, comprehends even the diseases of today, degenerative diseases. Now, I want you to note something with me very carefully. In Exodus 15:26, the positive side of this two-sided coin that we're considering, if Israel obeyed, God said what? I will what? Put none of these diseases upon you which I have brought on the Egyptians. In Deuteronomy 28, where we are now, if Israel disobeyed, what does God say? He says in verse 21, the Lord will make the plague. Verse 22, the Lord will strike you. Verse 59, the Lord will bring upon you. Verse 60, he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt. Verse 61, the Lord bring upon you. You see, what is clearly being told here, at least apparently being told, that the Lord is the one who brings disease upon us. Now I ask you, though, in what sense? Very important that we recognize this. How, in what sense does God cause disease to fall upon the disobedient? Does God originate these terrible diseases and sicknesses as a means of punishing the disobedient? Most emphatically, no. Satan is the originator of disease. All sickness and suffering are inventions that come from the laboratories of that old serpent called the devil. God is not the author of sickness, suffering, or death. He's the author of life, health, and happiness. But then, are these texts telling us that God uses Satan's inventions to punish us? Does God cause these terrible diseases to come upon the disobedient? I submit as well, the answer is no. No, not directly. Now please follow. Not directly. Only in an indirect sense. Listen carefully to this statement. It's found in Healthful Living, page 60. Satan is the originator of disease. There is a divinely appointed connection between sin and disease. Did you get that phrase? There is a divinely appointed connection between sin and disease. What is the connection? Listen, I read on. Sin and disease bear to each other the relationship of cause and effect. End quote. What causes disease? Sin, brothers and sisters, not God. But who is it that has established the law of cause and effect? It is God. It is God. This divinely appointed law of cause and effect is very clearly stated in Galatians chapter 6, in verse 7 and 8. You know it. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that shall he also what? Reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. You know, we've had a tendency to apply this truth only to the spiritual man. And certainly it applies to the spiritual man. But brothers and sisters, it applies to the whole man. And it applies with particular force to the physical man. If we sow to the flesh, in other words, if we indulge the perverted, depraved appetites and passions of our lower, corrupt, fallen nature, we will reap as a consequence what? Corruption, sickness, physical sickness, and finally, death. I read from Healthful Living again, page 25. The Lord has made it a part of His plan that man's reaping shall be according to his sowing. And this is the explanation of the misery and suffering in our world, which is charged back upon God. The man who serves himself and makes a god of his stomach will reap that which is the sure result of the violation of nature's laws. He who abuses any organ of the body to gratify lustful appetites and debased passions will bear testimony to the same in his countenance. He has sown to fleshly lusts, and he will just as surely realize the consequences. He is like a hunted being. He is a slave to passion. The chains which he is unwilling to break, and at last, the chains of passion, which he is unwilling to break, and at last he is left of God without conviction, without mercy, without hope, to destroy himself. He is left to the unnatural process of corrupting practices, which degrade him beneath the brute creation. His sinfulness has ruined the mechanism of the living machinery, and nature's laws transgressed become his tormentors. End quote. Oh, that's a powerful statement. But what is it that brought about the destruction It was the sinfulness, the unwillingness to break away from sinful practices, self-indulgence. Oh, brothers and sisters, though God does not put disease upon us in a direct sense, God has ordained the laws of cause and effect. And if we insist on transgressing the laws of our physical being, we will reap the consequences. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Healthful Living, page 20. God has formed laws to govern every part of our constitutions. And these laws, which he has placed in our being, are divine. And for every transgression, there is a fixed penalty, which sooner or later must be realized. End quote. Did you get that? For every transgression, there is a fixed penalty, which sooner or later must be realized. Note, it's sooner or later. It's very seldom immediately. And right here, there is a very real problem. You see, because of the lag time between sowing and reaping, there are many who are deceived into thinking that disobedience does not bring suffering, and are therefore emboldened in their disregard of God's law. Note how Scripture speaks to this. In Ecclesiastes, turn with me there in your Bibles. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11. When you go out in your garden and you plant a seed, do you reap immediately what you planted? No, of course not. There is a significant lag time between sowing and reaping, isn't there? And it's because of this lag time between sowing disobedience and reaping sickness and suffering and finally death, it's because of the lag time that many people are deceived into thinking they're getting by with it. And they are confirmed and they are emboldened in their disobedience. Look how Scripture puts it. Ecclesiastes 8 verse 11. Ecclesiastes. Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do what? To do evil. You see, because of that lag time between disobedience and the consequences, what happens with the naturally rebellious human heart? It becomes confirmed in its habits of disobedience. It thinks that it's getting by with it. Disobedience. But brothers and sisters, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For every transgression there is a fixed penalty, which sooner or later must be realized. Oh, if we would just recognize, if we would only learn that for every transgression of God's law there is a fixed penalty, which sooner or later must be realized. And oh, if we would only learn that for every compliance with God's law, there is a fixed blessing, which sooner or later will be realized. Oh, if we would only learn this, how advantaged we would be. Our whole attitude towards God's laws, towards his thou shalt nots and his thou shalts, would be changed. If we would just recognize that all of his thou shalt nots are to what? To protect us from our natural tendencies to self-destruction. And his thou shalts are to help us to come to realize health and happiness of mind, body, and spirit. Our whole attitude would change towards the law of God, wouldn't it? Healthful Living, page 18. God loves his creatures with a love that is both tender and strong. He has established the laws of nature, but his laws are not arbitrary exactions. every thou shalt not, whether in physical or mental law, contains or implies a promise. If it is obeyed, blessings will attend our steps. If it is disobeyed, the result is danger and unhappiness. End quote. If we could get this concept into our heads, I submit that we would come with David to say, how love I thy law, even and especially thy health laws. And brothers and sisters, you know what I find so often? That is one of the greatest hindrances to making progress in this area of health reform. It is a negative attitude towards God's do's and don'ts in the realm of our personal health habits. Please recognize with me that if God has said don't to anything, it's to protect us from the inevitable cause-effect relationship between disobedience and suffering. Please see that. If He has forbidden anything, He is a God who loves you. It's because He's trying to protect you from the terrible consequences that are sure to follow disobedience. There's no escaping it. Yes, there's a lag time. Yes, you might be able to get by with it for a little while, but don't be deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow disobedience, you are going to reap suffering. And every thou shalt that God has given you and me is to aid us, to help us come to experience personally health, abundant health, and all of the benefits to mind and body and spirit that that brings. I want to challenge you with that concept, that attitude. Seek to recognize the preciousness of God's laws, particularly as they apply to our lifestyle, our health habits. Testimonies, Volume 3, page 161. Those who understand something of the wisdom and beneficence of His laws and perceive the evidences of God's love and the blessings that result from obedience will come to regard their duties and obligations from an altogether different point of view. Instead of looking upon the observance of the laws of health as a matter of sacrifice and self-denial, they will regard it as it really is, an inestimable blessing. End quote. You see, so many look at the laws of health reform as giving up. So many things that we love to do, we don't really want to give it up. But brothers and sisters, it's not that at all. It's not that at all. I challenge you to view health reform from a positive perspective. But back to the topic at hand. The cause of disease. Those diseases that come upon us. Is it God? Is He the cause? Only indirectly. And by virtue of the fact that He has ordained the law of cause and effect. Only thus can it be said that God does or does not put disease upon us. What is the direct cause, though, in light of our study? What is the direct cause of the diseases that come upon us? What is it? It is disobedience, brothers and sisters. It is disobedience. Now, I grant that that disobedience may not be our own. Visiting the iniquities of the fathers unto the children, unto the third and fourth generation. There are those who inherit disease. These poor babies that are born of mothers addicted to crack. Is it their own disobedience that's caused them to be so terribly diseased at the point of birth? No, it's not their own disobedience, but it's still what? Disobedience. It's still disobedience. Disobedience, brothers and sisters, is the direct cause of disease and suffering. I read from Ministry of Healing, page 234. Disease is never without a cause. The way is prepared and disease invited by disregard of the laws of health. Clear enough? If that isn't clear, I want to read another one. Testimonies, volume 3, page 164. Sickness is caused by violating the laws of health. It is the result of violating nature's laws. What is the cause of sickness? Violating the laws of health. You know what? The latest scientific research documents that truth. All of the recent studies that have been done are coming to that very conclusion. I want to share a quote with you from Joseph Califano, the former Secretary of Health and Welfare. I quote, this is Joseph Califano speaking, in reference to all of the latest research that was available to him. I quote, "I can compress what we have learned about modern killer diseases in one sentence. We are killing ourselves with our own bad habits." We are killing ourselves with our own bad habits. That's what the latest scientific research has concluded. Indeed, sickness is caused by violating the laws of health. It is the result of violating nature's laws, our own bad habits. We are killing ourselves. What were we warned in Deuteronomy chapter 28 would happen? If we disobeyed, what did God tell us? Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 61. "Also every disease and every plague which is not written in the book of this law will the Lord bring upon you until you are" what? "Destroyed." We are killing ourselves with our own bad habits. The Lord brings those terrible consequences upon us only in the sense that He has to honor our choice. And if we insist on sowing unto the flesh, we will of the flesh reap what? Corruption. By the law of cause and effect that He Himself has ordained. Romans 6:23 says the same thing in familiar words. The wages of what? Sin is what? Death. Sin is what? Transgression of the law. Is that just the moral law? No, that's natural law as well. The wages of sin is death. Due to the cause-effect relationship between disobedience and disease. And finally, death. But I ask you, is disease and suffering and death what God intended us to experience when He established the law of cause and effect? No. What did God intend for us to experience when He established the laws of cause and effect? He wanted us to sow the blessings of health and happiness from the seeds of obedience. That's what God intended. That's why He established the law of cause and effect. So that we could be benefited, that we could be blessed through obedience. But what God intended to work as a blessing, Satan, by introducing sin into the picture, turned into a curse. And that is the hideous thing about sin. It takes what God intended to be a blessing
and it turns it into a curse. Even the law of heredity, which God intended to work as a what? As a blessing. He wanted each new generation to benefit from the obedience of the preceding and to be advantaged as a birthright. That's what God gave us the law of heredity for. But Satan got a hold of what God gave to be a blessing and he turned it into a what? A curse. And now we have poor, helpless, innocent babies born who are devastated from the very start, are hopeless to ever know health because of the disobedience of their parents. Oh, how hideous this thing of sin is. How ugly it is. God's desire. What is it? What is God's will? Is it for the disobedient to suffer? Disease? And finally die? Never. 2 Peter 3 verse 9. God is not willing that what? That any should perish. God is not willing that any should perish. Listen to the earnest plea of our Heavenly Father. Isaiah chapter 1. Verse 5. You know, there's been a lot of talk about this horrendous, ugly death that the sufferers of AIDS experience. There are many who refer to that as God's vengeance, God's retributive justice, God's punishment. Oh, brothers and sisters, I suppose in a certain way, in that God established the law of cause and effect, one could come to the conclusion that God is involved. Yes, but let's don't think that God inflicts that suffering in any kind of an arbitrary or vengeful way. Never. What is it that brings that suffering on those victims? It is their own disobedience and transgression. The wages of what? Sin is death. Scripture doesn't say God's wages against the sinner is death. Sin pays its own wages. Sin pays its own wages. We need to be careful how we think on these things. God is not willing that any should perish. Isaiah 1, verses 5 and 6. Listen to his plea from the heart of a father who loves us infinitely. Why should you be stricken again, he asks. Why should you be stricken again? Answer, what is the cause? You will revolt more and more. What is the cause for our stricken, sin-sick condition? It is our rebellion. And note how this sin sickness has affected us. Mental diseases, the whole head is sick. Spiritual diseases, the whole heart faints. Physical diseases, verse 6, from the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Mental, spiritual, and physical disease all trace their origin back to what? Rebellion. We revolt more and more against the law of God. But what does he plead with us to do? To come to him that we might be healed. Why should you be stricken again? God's desire for us is revealed in Christ's whole earthly ministry, which was spent how? Healing. Healing all manner of disease and revealing all manner of suffering. And what did Jesus say? If you've seen me, you've what? You've seen the Father. That's God's will. That's God's will. Jesus, we're told by inspiration, would come into a town and leave, and there would not be one sick person there. Not one. He just couldn't resist healing them all. He desired it so much. But when he healed, what did he say to those who had been healed? John chapter 5, verse 14. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." You see what he's telling us? He's telling us just precisely what we've been studying. Counsels on Health, page 30 and page 31. To many of the afflicted ones who received healing, Christ said, "Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." Thus, he taught that disease is the result of violating God's laws, both natural and spiritual. The great misery in the world would not exist did men but live in harmony with the Creator's plan. Did you hear that? None of these, what? Diseases. The great misery in the world would not exist did men live in harmony with the Creator's plan. It would not exist. End quote. What did Jesus say? He said, "Go and sin no more." And that was in reference to violation of physical laws as well as spiritual laws. You see, the reason he said, "Go and sin no more," when he healed someone physically, is because transgression of natural law, which got them sick, is transgression of God's law and is therefore sin. What is sin? Transgression of the law. Healthful Living, page 20. Every law governing the human machinery is to be considered just as truly divine in origin, in character, and in importance as the Word of God. Every law governing the human machinery is to be considered just as truly divine in origin, in character, and in importance as the Word of God. Every careless action, any abuse put upon the wonderful mechanism by disregarding His specified laws of the human habitation is a violation of God's law. This law embraces the treatment of the entire being. End quote. So then, brothers and sisters, on the highest authority, the word of the Master Physician himself, we conclude that the cause of disease is what? It is sin. Violation, particularly, of the laws of our being. Natural laws. Physical laws. This is a vitally important concept to grasp. Why? Because our understanding of the cause of disease directly determines the approach we take in dealing with it. I can't overemphasize that. I repeat, our understanding of the cause of disease directly influences our approach in dealing with it. If we think that disease, as many do, is just the consequence of bad luck, what will be our approach? Will we take personal responsibility and seek to change anything? Why, of course not. It's just luck. If we think that the cause of disease, our diseased condition, is because we're getting inadequate medical attention or not getting good enough drugs, will we take personal responsibility? No, we'll simply go looking for a better doctor to prescribe better medications. Another thing that will be directly determined by our understanding of the cause of disease is the degree of personal responsibility then we are willing to take regarding our health. And thirdly, our understanding of the cause of disease will directly determine whether or not we'll recognize our need for the divine physician. You see, if we recognize that disease has to do with our sin problem, then to deal with disease, even physical disease, we will see that we need to go and find a what? A Savior. Right? A Savior. And praise God, the Master Physician is the Savior. The Savior from sin. Oh, if only doctors and patients would come to realize this fundamental truth regarding the cause of disease, what a difference it would make in how both would deal with the problem of sickness and suffering. Consider with me, though, how the Master Physician's counsel contrasts with that of the typical, and please note, there are exceptions, typical modern physician. What did the Master Physician say to his patients after he had relieved them of their suffering? See, you have been made well. Sin no more. In other words, overcome those wrong habits that are in violation of the laws of your being that got you sick, lest a worse thing come unto you. What does the Master Physician, what does the modern physician say? The typical modern physician? Praise God, there are exceptions. He says, see, you feel much better, don't you? Go home. Don't worry about a thing. If something worse happens to you, we've got stronger drugs, better, more advanced techniques of dealing with them, and we will free you of all of your suffering. In other words, you can go right on violating the laws of your being, and when it comes time to reap the consequences, modern medicine and wonder drugs will bail you out. Is that unfair? Well, I don't know, brothers and sisters. If we were to suggest that all modern physicians, without exception, say such things in so many words, yes, it would be unfair. There are exceptions. Praise God for them. But I fear the majority, in offering fast symptomatic relief, without careful instruction as to the cause of the diseased state, and insistence upon appropriate changes in lifestyle to avoid reoccurrence, are communicating by their approach such a message. Please, let's don't put all the blame, though, for this typical approach on the physicians. Why is it that modern medicine largely has confined itself to pushing pills to mask symptoms? Why? Because the modern patient doesn't want to be bothered with making changes in his lifestyle. Really, the responsibility lies in whose lap then? Our own. Ministry of Healing, page 126. When attacked by disease, many will not take the trouble to search out the cause of their illness. Their chief anxiety is to rid themselves of pain and inconvenience. So, they resort to patent nostrums. What are patent nostrums? Drugs, medications, of whose real properties they know little, or they apply to a physician for some remedy to counteract the result of their misdoing, but with no thought of making a change in their unhealthful habits. If immediate benefit is not realized, another medicine is tried, and then another. Thus, the evil continues. End quote. What does the Master Physician instruct us to do, though? What is his prescription? Proverbs chapter 4. Turn with me there. Proverbs chapter 4. And verse 20 and following. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and what? Health to all their flesh. That's the prescription of the Master Physician. And what is his promise? If you will walk in the ways that the Lord your God commands, I will put what? None of these diseases. None of these diseases. Brothers and sisters, how are we doing as a people as far as realizing that marvelous promise is concerned? None of these diseases. Have we realized the promise? If we haven't realized the promise, we haven't what? Met the condition. But listen, I want to share an interesting statement from Paul Harvey that is very relevant to what we're studying. This is from Paul Harvey, Harvey News and Comment. You're familiar with Paul Harvey, all of you? I quote directly what was said. Have you wondered if health care is worth it? Consensus of most modern medical men is that you should exercise, keep your weight down, avoid cigarettes. An increasing number of physicians are recommending against alcohol, high cholesterol meats, and white flour. These recommendations are based on the latest medical knowledge, though I can show you the same prescription for health in a book that is 100 years old. Ellen White authored that book. To this day, Seventh-day Adventists accept her criteria. Oh, Paul Harvey, I wish that were truer than it is. To this day, Seventh-day Adventists accept her criteria. Since she has been proved right about so many things, perhaps we should examine what she said. The benefit of Ellen White's teachings are now measurable. There are 57,000 Adventists living in California. Recently, the dead ones were interviewed. Quotes. The state of California, the United States Public Health Service, and the Adventist Church, Pacific Union Conference, analyzed available death certificates of all Adventists who had died over a five-year period. 98.8% of all such certificates were traceable. Judging from their records, Seventh-day Adventists have a life expectancy 5 to 6 years greater than other Californians. 70% fewer Adventists died from all types of cancer. 68% fewer from respiratory diseases. 88% fewer from TB. 85% fewer from pulmonary emphysema. Among all Adventists, there had been only 9 cases of cancer of the lung, and further research revealed each one of these had at some time been a smoker. Adventists have 46% less strokes, 60% less disease. About 50% of Adventists are vegetarians. A new study has been launched by Drs. Richard Walden and Raymond West of Loma Linda University to compile comparative health figures for meat eaters and non-meat eaters. Perhaps a byproduct of Adventists' abstinence from alcohol is the finding that they have only about one-third, 33%, as many accidents. It has tended to reaffirm the faith of the faithful to discover that the most advanced scientific findings support what was written and taught by this amazing little lady, Ellen White, more than 100 years ago. Adventists in California live on an average how much longer than the rest of the Californians? 5 to 6 years. Is that something we should stand up and brag about, boast about? My brothers, my sisters, I submit to you that that is something that we should be ashamed of. You know what it ought to be? It ought to be 20 to 25 years longer. I believe, brothers and sisters, I insist that we as Adventists, without exception, were we living up to the light that we had, we could be dying of one of the most rare causes of death these days. You know what that is? Old age. Almost nobody dies of old age anymore. Do you know that? Very, very few people die of old age. Most people die of suicide. By transgressing the laws of their being, that's really what they've done, isn't it? Now, I'm not talking about the most obvious type of suicide. I'm talking about what happens when you sow seeds of disobedience and you reap premature what? Premature death. Isn't that a kind of suicide? Of course it is. And those percentages, oh, they're significant. 70% fewer Adventists die of cancer. 68% fewer of respiratory diseases. 88% fewer from TB. 85% fewer from pulmonary emphysema. 46% less from strokes. 60% less from heart disease. Those are significant percentages. But what should they be? What percent should be there? 100% fewer. Yes. None of these diseases. Brothers and sisters, we ought not to be dying of diseases. I say that on the authority of God's word, on the authority of His promise. We should be dying of none of these diseases. It ought to be 100% fewer. Healthful Living, page 51. If people would reason from cause to effect, and that's the whole focus tonight, the cause of disease is what? Disobedience. If people would reason from cause to effect and follow the light which shines upon them, they would pursue a course which would ensure health, and the mortality would be far less. Not 5 to 6 years, but what? Far less. I read on, but people are too willing to remain in inexcusable ignorance and trust their body to the doctors instead of having any special responsibility in the matter themselves. God forgive us. Oh, brothers and sisters, we have so much precious light. If we would walk in that light, we would not have to even see a doctor. We have the master physician himself telling us precisely how to avoid getting sick. You see, if disobedience is the cause and disease is the effect, what's the best way to deal with disease? Remove the cause. If you take the cause away, will the effect follow? No, in a cause-effect relationship, if you're going to have an effect, you have to have the what? The cause. So if we would learn to obey, we would cease to be sick. None of these diseases. Do you want a health insurance policy that's foolproof? Here it is, Healthful Living, page 30. A careful conformity to the laws God has implanted in our being will ensure health, and there will not be a breaking down of the Constitution. End quote. None of these diseases. That's God's promise. I close with the prescription of the master physician. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 33. Not only is it the prescription, but it's the promise. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 33. Here's the prescription. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you. And here's the promise. That you may live, and that it may be well with you, that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. Obedience, brothers and sisters, walking in all the ways which the Lord our God has commanded us. Not only adds quantity to the years of our lives, but quality to the years of our lives as well. Did you get those two? That you may prolong your days, that's quantity. But is quantity all we want? Who wants to live a long time if you're miserable? We not only want quantity, we want quality as well. And do you hear that provision in the promise? Not only that you may prolong your days, but that you may live, and that it may be what? Well with you. Oh, brothers and sisters, in other words, obedience. Obedience adds years to your life, and life to your years. That's the physician's, the master physician's promise. Do you want to realize that promise? Then by grace, let's learn how we can and must meet the conditions. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, I thank you for the precious promise of your word. None of these diseases. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to realize and own up to the cause of disease, and that is disobedience. Help us to confess our failure in the past to walk in all the ways which you have commanded us. And then receiving your forgiveness and with a true repentant spirit, help us to change our rebellious ways and to learn to live in harmony with the laws of our being, with all your laws, so that we, Father, might come to realize personally that tremendous promise, none of these diseases. Oh, Father, forgive us. We as a people have had so much light, but we haven't walked in the light. If we had, we would be the wonder of the world. And the world would be coming to our door and pleading with us to let them know our secret for such abundant and long life. But Father, 5 to 6 years, that's not much. Forgive us. Help us, I pray, to realize your promise by meeting the conditions through your enabling grace. Be with us as we continue our study as to how we can and must learn to cooperate with you, the Master Physician, that we might be healed. This is our prayer, in his name and for his sake. Amen.